Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations all over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the bear.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the dry.
Schmack dogs!
Good morning, it is the drive with Tame Piper, Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk.
Let's go.
What a wild night in Champaign at State Farm Center. Illinois down by as many as 18 at the half to number 21 Northwestern. Looked pretty bleak.
That was incredible.
Boo Birds came out from the home crowd.
Did they really?
Very rarely happens.
I was going to say, I did not hear that on TV.
As the team was going to the locker room down 18, it was 37-19.
Ooh.
And they were getting booed off the floor, unless the crowd just switched sides and were just chanting
Boo.
Boo. Because Boo Booey had 22 of what turned out to be, hey, another career high against Illinois.
Unbelievable.
35 points. For the Northwestern point guard. He's been on an absolute heater here recently. We can talk about what led to that. Illinois gave him some open shots early on.
Yeah.
Went under some screens. Sincere helped off. All of a sudden, there's another guy having his best game of his career against the Illini. And we kind of joked about it yesterday. We actually had Kyle. I was going to blame Kyle on Twitter.
Right.
I didn't want to send all the anger because, let's be honest, Illini Twitter was looking for somebody to go after last night.
I stayed off that.
That would have been deserved.
Yeah.
I even predicted yesterday in my prediction. I'm like, he's going to have an off night. Illinois is going to hold him down.
Oh, yeah. You kind of, what Lon and I have been doing to Iowa.
You're right.
You know, you kind of flipped the switch. We said good things about Iowa. They're going to win. Now they've lost. Kyle said Boo Boo, he's going to stink, and he had his best game of his career.
Because I love telling people how to do their job, have you guys ever asked Brad about why every team has one guy that goes off?
We haven't asked him that yet, no.
I don't know that he would enjoy the question, and I don't know that what the answer would be, except that, well, they just had, but now it's becoming
the list
a trend.
Is ridiculous.
Right. I mean, you can see it happening two or three times, but starting back with Kobe Brown from Missouri and continuing on, it seems like every game, whoever the other team is, their player has a career night against Illinois. Now, maybe that's just coincidence. I don't know. But now it's happened so many times.
At this point.
Right, exactly.
The weird thing is that Illinois had a defense that's ranked pretty highly throughout the season.
Right.
They've gotten to as high as 15 in the country defensive efficiency. They've dropped down here recently because Penn State hung 90 plus on them. Indiana scored pretty well. And even, you know, Minnesota had a decent scoring game with Jamison Battle. Wasn't a career high, but his 31 points against them was a season high. But yeah, I mean, Kobe Brown, 31. Trace Jackson Davis, the most points he's ever scored in a Big Ten game, 75.
Oh,
yeah, pretty much.
Felt like it.
Jalen Pickett was 75.
Oh, that's right.
No, actually, that was 41, career high. Tony Perkins, 32, career high. And then Boo Booey last night, 35. And he was unconscious. Like, I think that you do tip your cap at some point. Some of the shots that he was making, like he had some tough finishes there in the lane, made some threes with the hand in his face, but you can't help but just sit there and say, it's kind of your fault as a defense. You let him get going.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden, of course, as you have more confidence, as you get in rhythm, you're going to make some of those higher degree of difficulty shots. So, wow. I mean, last night, there's so many different things to come out of it and say. We have to, of course, go on the other side of the coin. And yep. Illinois down 18 at half. Terrence Shannon, we talked about it yesterday. I thought that he was going to play. I maybe had somebody tell me that he was going to play. I don't know. But he was good to go last night. Although he didn't do anything in the first half. Matthew Meyer and Terrence Shannon combined for 2 points in the first half. In the second half, they combined for 38.
That's incredible.
And Terrence Shannon Jr. put on the epic show of 24 of his 26 after halftime. Only missed one shot in the second half. He went 4 for 5 from three on the night. His first shot actually was an airballed three. Didn't miss from deep after that. Was hitting from way beyond the arc. Was going to the lane and showing his athleticism, his ability to finish. And even Chris Collins said it last night. Like, we knew he wanted to get to his left hand to get downhill. They have Chase Audige, who's one of the best perimeter defenders in the Big Ten. They're really good at contending around the rim with Nicholson as a seven-footer. And yet, they couldn't stop him.
No. You know what last night would have been perfect? Have you ever been in a – well, I know you have. Have you ever been in a different city, in a bar, just kind of by yourself, having a beer? You're watching a game on TV that you have no interest – not interest, but you have zero rooting interest in. And last night would have been perfect for some person that was just sitting in a bar somewhere in Northwestern and Illinois on, because the brilliance of Boo Booey in the first half, you had to be sitting there, even if you weren't a fan of that game and you were just passively watching, you'd have to be like, whoa. And then all of a sudden in the second half, Terrence Shannon does the same thing. He Boo Booey'd Northwestern in the second half. It was just, if you can step back from it and not put all of your emotion into a game, which I understand we do because we're Illinois fans, but if you could step back last night from that game and just watch it from a purely basketball standpoint of you just love basketball, that was a hell of a game to watch. And that first half, you know what it reminded me of? Who was the dude for Ohio State, the freshman last year, that went off on us here?
Malachi Branham.
That's it. I thought we were doing another Malachi Branham game last night. And technically we did, except the good news is the ending wasn't the same because Ohio State won that game last year. I don't know what you thought of this, and I'm talking to every Illini fan out there. I get it. I understand. I get fired up watching games. Twitter's the worst thing in the world for all of us. It essentially just – it's us yelling at our phone to hope that other people that are yelling at their phone enjoy what we're yelling about, and probably others are yelling the same thing. But, man, you have to give Illinois so much credit. First, I came away from that. I'm a believer in Northwestern. Not that what they've done so far shouldn't have me believing, but basically for three quarters – I know there's two halves – but for three quarters of that game, Northwestern played as well as they can. They shot as well as they can. They executed as well as they can. Their defense, like you said, on Shannon and Meyer, was as good as they can do. And all of a sudden, in the last 10 minutes of that game or 11 minutes of that game, Illinois completely flipped the script and went on to a huge win at home. And that is a huge win. Is that the best win of the Big Ten season?
I think so, yeah.
I think it would
be. I think
it would
rival Rutgers at home,
mm-hmm.
at Wisconsin.
Yeah,
you also beat Michigan State at home.
That's true.
But in terms of the conference standings, Northwestern the highest of those. Right. They're still sitting there at second.
And kind of the way it happened.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, there were times in that first half with Boo Booey that I was sitting there, like, I wasn't mad at Illinois. I'm like, what are you supposed to do? I mean, what are you supposed to do? Now, on a couple of those, I get it. But he would catch and shoot, like, he'd release it in 2 seconds from 22 feet, and it was nothing but net.
He wasn't hitting the rim.
No. And I was like, what are you supposed to do? I mean, come on. We've all played basketball, right? I mean, sometimes somebody's just on a heater, and there's not much you can do about it. Coleman Hawkins did that against Wisconsin the first time. And I'm guessing every Wisconsin fan out there was probably yelling at their defense to stop Coleman, and yet as an Illini fan, we're sitting there going, whoa, what?
Yeah.
When did this start happening?
If you haven't been minoring in Northwestern basketball like Kyle has, and you finally got a chance to watch the Wildcats last night, you probably came away as a decent believer.
Big
now, do they have enough around Bowie
scoring-wise?
Audige had a really off night. He's a better player than what he showed. Yeah. At least he's capable of more than 3 for 14 from the field. But defensively, you saw there in that first half, they were awesome with their post trap. Now, as awesome as they were with it, Dane was – equally as awful.
I agree.
Holding the ball and over dribbling. They make you shoot threes, which Illinois, that's a problem. It's a big problem.
They enjoy it though.
They like hoisting it up.
Are you gonna
although there were
shoot?
Times when Coleman still, I mean, he got five up and missed all of them, but there were, you could still count one or two or three that he pump faked and then kind of dribbled in no man's land and had a look from three that he didn't ultimately take. So I liked their defense. I think that they're a really scrappy, tough team. They came into Champaign.
They did.
A place that was, I don't know if it was sold out, but it was pretty packed.
Okay.
And the Orange Crush was hyped up. They weren't afraid of Illinois at all. Now, they had already beaten them.
Yep.
But to see Shannon back, Meyer, Northwestern fully believed they could win that game. To Illinois' credit, though, I'll have the turning point, of course, was when you cut the lead in that first 4 or 5 minutes in the second half. But I just think Illinois could have, if they would have been slow starting in that second half, Northwestern sustains that lead or even tacks on another two to make it 20, 22, to turn an 18-point deficit into four?
Four, I think.
In 5 minutes.
That's incredible.
Immediately made it a game.
Yeah.
Shannon had two threes and one. Meyer hit a three, and all of a sudden the crowd was in it, and there was like, oh, this is a game.
It's incredible. It was fun.
It was really fun.
Like for instance, in fact, 217 said, I went to sleep with 2 minutes to go in the first half, woke up at 2 in the morning and found out they won. I feel bad for not watching all of it now. Well, guess what? Go back and watch it. Now that you know the result, that game would be fun to watch, right? I mean, if now that I know Illinois is going to win the game, I would love to go back and rewatch that and watch Boo Booey and all his greatness in that first half, really for the first 30 minutes of the game. I mean, give him credit. The kid was unstoppable. And
for this texter, this might be the Better Call Saul finale for him. Maybe it got deleted off the DVR, and they'll never be able to see that again, ever.
He's probably my age, and he's like, yeah, well, I can't find it now. It's out there in the universe somewhere in some cloud. But, yeah, I mean, you could go back and watch this. Or if you just want, watch the last 11 minutes of the game and just watch Terrence Shannon go crazy. That was just I came away from that last night. When I went to bed, I just went to bed with a smile on my face. Not only because Illinois won, no doubt, but I was like, you know what? That was just one hell of a basketball game. And I enjoyed every stinking second of it. And it's amazing. This year, I just haven't had a chance to see a lot of games. I've told you that because of interference with high school basketball, which, of course, I'm always going to watch that instead if my son's playing. But last night, I finally had the chance to just sit down. It was an 8 o'clock game. I know those are kind of late. Don't get me wrong. But I was like, I'm going to sit down and I'm just going to relax and I'm going to enjoy an Illinois basketball game. And I feel like that game last night got my March Madness blood going. Like now I'm ready. I'm ready for these tournaments like the Missouri Valley tournament that's going to come up. I'm ready for the Big Ten tournament. I'm ready for Selection Sunday. Like that game last night got me kind of in the college basketball March Madness mood. And I'm there. I'm 100% on board now.
Because it's that kind of craziness that we love.
Exactly.
And associate with March Madness for sure. And
it
seemed like one of those games. I think that in terms of the environment, that was one of the more fun games. And I want Kyle's perspective as someone that was there in that Orange Crush.
With his shirt off.
I think he was. I think he definitely was
because
Terrence Shannon was going around afterwards taking selfies with people. And I think on someone's Instagram story, Kyle is definitely shirtless in one of those. But for that place to be, I mean, that place was on fire last night. It wasn't quite Iowa last year to win the Big Ten. And there have been some other moments, obviously, throughout the years. I mean, I'm always going to set the bar at Wake Forest in 2004-05. But it was a really fun type of game. And we've sat there and wondered, can Illinois win a nail biter? Can they win a close game? There haven't been a lot of examples of them being in that circumstance. They've lost to Iowa. They've lost to Indiana, both on the road when it was tight late.
Yep.
But they were able to pull that thing out. So, Kyle, from the Orange Crush with your shirt off, how did you experience that one last night?
My shirt was on for the entirety of the game.
Okay,
let's just start there.
Probably good.
But, yeah, I mean, it was an awesome environment. I was behind the basket that they were shooting on in the first half, and it was just a crazy, like, swing from halftime where everyone's like, what in the world was that? And they closed the half so awfully, too. It was like a shock in the arena. They turned it over, like, two times. Boo Booey made another three. But I think, like Derek said, that first 4 minutes of the second half really just completely re-energized the building. And from that point on, it was an awesome environment, really fun. And yeah, I mean, that it was just such a fun comeback to be a part of and see, because it just the energy was both in the crowd, but then the players, like, you see Sincere Harris stomping up and down the court,
right,
and stuff, and Terrence Shannon was like shouting at us from under the basket. It was it was awesome.
And let's
take your shirt off is what he was yelling at Kyle.
Let's be honest. Illinois Northwestern doesn't normally give us vibes like that last night, right?
No.
And it's because the orange and blue have dominated that series ridiculously through the years. So I'm not saying because it's Northwestern, like, I don't look at Northwestern as some, like, I don't get fired up to play Northwestern like I do Indiana or Iowa or something like that. But there was this kind of a cool storyline going into that game where you have a Northwestern team that's going to be a tournament-bound team, an Illinois team that's going to be a tournament-bound team. Both teams are fighting for a double bye, essentially, at the Big Ten tournament. And how often does Northwestern and Illinois possess basketball teams good enough to go to the tournament together, right? Not often. Hardly ever. So it just had kind of a cool, almost a cool State of Illinois storyline. Like, you could see how all of a sudden that would be fun if that was your rival and they were always good. Now, I mean, that last night would be like the game, kind of like the Iowa is every year, right? That's kind of how it is with Iowa. Every year, normally both teams are good enough to where, at least at home, they're going to probably win or give one hell of a fight. And that's usually just not the case with Northwestern. But to have those Wildcats come in last night as the better team on paper, maybe not on paper, but the better team when you look at the standings and such, and coming in on a hot streak like they were, although Illinois really won a lot of games too in the last month.
But yeah, Northwestern was the hottest team in the Big Ten, yeah, five in a row.
So to have them come in and for a second trick your mind into thinking, all right, this is our state rival. They're a team that's red hot. We need the win worse than them. And then for that to happen, and then just have an unbelievable game. That was fun. I wasn't smiling the whole game because I was tired of Boo Booey, but I was just having fun with it. And I wasn't mean tweeting. You know, at one point I think I said, did we not recruit Boo? Because he's like taking it personal on us. And then we find out Kyle said he's from New York. So obviously we probably didn't. But I don't know. It was just a fun game. It was fun.
3 points away from tying the biggest comeback ever by an Illini team in that building. 21 points they came back from against Seton Hall in 2000.
I remember that game.
Very memorable game.
I was at
Bradford and company.
Yep.
But
Eddie Griffin, I think, was the Seton Hall guy.
Is that right?
Was a stud.
To add to just what's been some crazy swings this year, and we'll play Brad Underwood as we go along. I asked him last night, what do you make of the different ends of the spectrum for this team? It's maddening, and if you – we're trying to find a game still as you're late into February, going into March. Let me try to figure out this Illinois team. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I know.
And I'm interested. Hit us up on the text line, 217-359-2255. What did you take away from that game? I get it. I'm with you, especially in this opening segment. Like, for the most part, it was fun. You just kind of enjoyed the up and down nature of it, the
exactly.
Northwestern making their run, like, oh, you know, Collins has a good team and you appreciate Bowie and what they're doing. And then obviously Shannon, that's why you go out there and you get studs in the portal like Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, that can really change the trajectory of your team, your season and everything. And when he's rolling like that, he's one of the best players in the country. When
yes,
he's
he
got
is.
The three ball
yes,
with his
is.
Explosive downhill game, he's such a load to handle. But for Illinois, let me give you three scenarios that they've been in this year. Down 18 points at home at the half against Northwestern. Down 15 points early second half against UCLA. Down 10 points with 8 to go against Texas. And in the same game, down 5 points with a minute left against Texas. Illinois won all three of those
games.
That's
incredible. Well, if nothing else, it shows you that they're not going to clutch up, right? You wouldn't think they haven't.
Interesting part of it is, so they've dug themselves some deep holes. Sometimes they don't come out of it.
No.
Missouri, they got throttled. Whew. Penn State owned them.
Yeah, they did.
Indiana came into Champaign and beat their brakes off, essentially. You know, 15-point win for the Hoosiers.
Totally.
And then sometimes Illinois has shown that ability to flip a game on its head and be able to come all the way back. Or you know, have like the Rutgers game where Rutgers doesn't score for 11 minutes and their defense dominates. So I just think that the different
swings,
swings are just kind of like, what is Illinois when they're at their best? Wow, that's a really good team. What is Illinois when they don't bring it? Well, man, that team's going to get
pummeled
in the NCAA tournament.
At their best, they're a two seed in the NCAA tournament, right? That's where Texas and UCLA are seeded. And at their Penn State worst, they're not a tournament team.
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, I think where they are is probably where they are.
Like a seven
seed in the NCAA tournament.
And I think that answers, greatly answers your question from earlier this week that we never really got to, was how does a UCLA, a Texas, or even maybe a team that hasn't seen Illinois this year look at Illinois in the tournament?
Right.
And that's kind of the deal. It's like this team could show up and be seeded as a seven, but really be a two seed.
Right.
Like really have the talent
and
the ability of a two seed.
Yep.
But you could be a 10 seed who draws them in the first round, or if Illinois is a six, be an 11 seed and say they might lay an egg and be a team that doesn't even look like they'd belong in this tournament. We can beat them.
You're right. You're exactly
That's just kind of the crazy dynamic. I can't remember a team, and I know that we always get so focused in the now, and we kind of forget certain moments of recent seasons or even dating back. But
totally.
I, off the top of my head, can't remember a team that had this much of a variance or this much of a question mark of going to the tournament. This is what I expect out of this team.
Yep, I totally agree. And doesn't it make sense? Because when you think about the knowns the last couple of seasons, I know it didn't end well against Houston and Loyola, but the knowns of that team, you knew Io, Kofi, Trent, DeMonte, those guys had been around here forever. You just kind of knew what they were going to do. There wasn't really anything that they did that surprised me, whether good or bad. This team is all mixed matched, whatever I'm trying to say, mished, where you got so many new components to it that it makes sense that they would be like this.
It's true.
But you're right. You're dead on. Like, I wouldn't want to play Illinois in the NCAA tournament. I wouldn't, because, like you said, for the off chance that they get hot. I mean, are we describing essentially that UCLA team that went to the Final Four? Was that 2 years ago? When they were in the play-in game?
Yes.
Now, I have no idea.
Or you could even say, like, last year's North Carolina.
Or Carolina. That's a good call.
Because they were talented as heck.
Well, how about that then? Let's go with that theory. You look at Carolina, as talented as they were, and just for some reason had just an off year, not as bad as this year, but an off year, and then they just make a run to the Final Four because they just got hot, and the big boy down low was just getting every rebound you could think of, and Love was hitting shots crazy. And then UCLA 2 years ago, they're in the play-in game in Dayton, and they go all the way to the Final Four with my guy. What's his name?
Jaime Jaquez.
Jaime Jaquez.
Who's still there.
He's still there. So maybe this
they
Illinois
could do
team.
That, or they could get beat by double digits by a seed that's a 10 or an 11.
Well, I'm going to go with the trend. UCLA 2 years ago.
Okay.
Carolina last year. Illinois, the surprise team in New Orleans or wherever. Where is the Final Four?
Houston.
Just found out today. Lucas Tay is going to be moving to Texas, I think. Big news.
Awesome.
We don't know yet, but he'll be living about an hour and a half from Houston. Ooh. We may have to. No. Can you imagine, though? Jim Nance. And here, the surprise team in the NCAA tournament in Houston, the Fighting Illini of Illinois.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, by the way, I'm four shows into that full swing out of seven. You have got to watch it, because I know you love golf.
I do.
And you will eat this series alive. You will absolutely love it. And I pulled up the Seton Hall, Illinois game from 2000. That was 19-11. Illinois outscored Seton Hall in overtime to win that game. Darius Lane led Seton Hall with 31. Eddie Griffin scored 20. And Illinois was led by Marcus Griffin with 24. Frank had 21. Corey Bradford, 15. Corey was only 2 for 10 from the three-point line. Ooh, that's awesome to look at that. Brian Cook, Serge, Lucas, Robert, Sean, Brett. That's awesome. Some names I love Brett Milton, Muhammad Illinois. He went to like San Diego State, I think. Didn't he transfer?
That sounds right.
I think that sounds right. Yeah, you look at that Griffin Peoria, Frank Peoria, Cook, Lincoln, Illinois, Serge Peoria, Lucas up north, Archer's from St. Louis, I think, Bradford, Memphis, Harrington was from like Barrington or something, and Brett Milton Muhammad. You had what?
Wow.
Two guys that weren't. Arch wasn't from Illinois, and Corey. And those teams were good, man. That Peoria pipeline was a special thing for a while.
It's crazy.
That's awesome.
We'll break this down even more as we go along. We're going to hear from Luke Goody, our guy.
I'm happy and I'm nervous today. I'm happy
and
I'm nervous.
He's got a big game tonight.
Oh, my goodness. I told you before the show, I would get nervous. I'm not trying to act like I was some elite athlete because I wasn't. I would get nervous. I get three times more nervous as a father. Why is that? Is it because you can't do anything to control the game? Like, it's out of your hands. Isn't that funny? But it's that feeling you get from athletics, right? I've always said I think everybody should do, whether it's choir, whether it's athletics, it's that nervous energy that you have to work through. And I think it's good for you in life because I think it teaches you lessons. I think it's awesome. Here I am at 52, drink, and I'm like going through this nerve of like I'm playing tonight in a regional championship game. And it's like, come on, Lon, drink a beer and relax.
No wonder Lon is putting no like stress or negative energy into last night's performance. Like, down 18 in Northwestern. I had fun. I had fun watching it.
That game
of course, they come back
nothing.
And win.
Right.
But yeah, Lon's got too much vested in St. Thomas More tonight.
That game last night.
He's trying
night,
to keep the positive vibes as much as possible.
Exactly. That game last night meant nothing to me. Nothing. No, I'm kidding. It did. You know it did. I was going to tell you real quick. Diane, right off the bat.
I saw that.
Left the studio and then said, can we pop the top now? I'm ready for a drink. D-R-A-N-K. Yeah.
To one of the most epic comebacks ever.
Yes.
At the State Farm Center.
We can do
and
it.
To.
We can do it twice.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Andrew Tay and company.
Oh.
Getting a win tonight in the regional.
It'll be tough.
Let's put him in the air.
Happy hour.
Let's go. Oh. As I drink water, that's not even fair. Maybe if I take a drink of this water while I listen to that beer poured, it'll taste like a Bud Light.
It could.
Let me check. Hold on. Nope, that tastes like water. Dang it. Somebody bring me
is that
a beer.
A Keystone? No, Keystone doesn't taste like water.
I drank Keystone Light
that.
In college. That was my
yeah,
beer
so
in
did
college.
I.
Did you really?
Well, it wasn't my beer. I think it was more like the high school
yeah.
into like early stages of college.
Oh, if we would have known this, we could have called our show something other than The Drive with Say and Pie. We could have done like the Keystone Light Hour.
Well, see, I usually like to forget about drinking Keystone. It wasn't a good beer, I don't think.
No, it wasn't, but it was cheap.
Very cheap.
It was the bottled beer in a can. That's what they would call it. And then I remember buying bottles of it, and I'm like, is this going to be the beer taste in a bottle or something? I drank Keystone Light. My buddy Taylor drank Milwaukee's Best, I think. Another buddy drank Natty Light. And then our fourth roommate didn't drink. So we had beer in the fridge that nobody would touch the other beer. Like, I would be like, why do you drink Milwaukee's Best as I'm hammering down a Keystone Light? Oh, man, those were the good old days. Wait, Justin Taylor, our guy, not San Diego State. Went to San, what?
San Diego. I think someone, a Muhammad listener said San Diego, not San Diego State.
Oh, went Brett to Mellon. University of San Diego. I'm sorry. Yeah, Justin, gotcha. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Man, if you're going to pick somewhere in life to live, San Diego is probably right up there at number one. Like 75 degrees every day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd probably be good at golf there. Maybe. All right, I'll shut up.
More time to break this down as we go along. Again, if you want to weigh in, 217-359-2255, you can do so on the U of I Alina Link text line. I'm curious, what's the big takeaway from last night? What's the lasting impression? I know that we didn't really get into – sometimes you don't want to, after every game, say, what does this tell us about where Illinois is ultimately going to go? I do have some thoughts on that.
Okay.
As far as what we saw, both good and bad. We will talk more. I think Sincere Harris deserves more – discussion with what he was able to do against Boo Booey, and we'll break this down from different angles. We'll also get Luke Goody's thoughts, 405, yes. The Luke Goody segment, one of our favorites throughout the week. He will weigh in. No practice today. Brad gave them a day off. They will have practice tomorrow before traveling to Columbus, and they are in action again against the Buckeyes on Sunday. And we'll have to look at the weekend slate, give some predictions for what Illinois is going to do against Ohio State and some other games around the Big Ten. A big one in West Lafayette.
Yes.
Indiana versus Purdue.
Oh.
The rematch. But before we catch a break.
There's a lot of people texting. We'll get to those.
We will. On the other side of this break, before we catch one of those, Lon's got a little work to do.
Derek, do you like art? If you do, Busey's setting you up. Busey Wealth Management pleased to present the 1868 The Exhibition. It's a collection of artwork from the communities that Busey serves. What a cool idea. That's really cool. Designed to support one of Busey's four pillars and partner with our communities to support the arts, advocate for our youth, and help neighbors in need. The exhibition's open to the public and available to view online. You just go to Busey.com/backsplash. That'd be behind your kitchen. /1868. The collection exemplifies Busey's longstanding commitment to the community. 150 years Busey has advocated the arts. 150 years. That's incredible. They also reinvest in neighborhoods. They've donated more than $1 million annually. Busey just gets it, man. They get local, they get it. Busey Wealth Management, honored to serve the unique financial needs of clients, whether saving for college or planning for retirement, to explore that 1868 collection. Remember, Busey.com/1868. Busey, member FDIC. I got to do it again.
That is a professional.
Yeah. I remember when I was good at that.
Catching a break on the other side. Talk more Atlanta hoops. This is The Drive.
Lance Heating and Cooling here today to talk to you about your furnace or air conditioner. With these cold temps outside right now, we wanted you to know we've got dozens of furnaces and air conditioners ready in our warehouse. Call us today and Kurt or Michael will come out to your home free of charge, measure your home, and we can help you decide what system fits your house and your budget. Our team of skilled installation techs can come out and get your furnace working so that heat is on and working perfectly for you. Lance Heating and Cooling. Why call anyone else?
A huge new shipment of houseplants has just arrived to the Prairie Gardens greenhouses. Find all your favorites, monstras, fiddle-leaf fig ferns, succulents, and more. And the cool and unusual, with new varieties in the PG greenhouses for the very first time. Come enjoy the lush greenhouses filled with thousands of new arrivals. And PG plant experts always on hand to answer your plant questions. At Prairie Gardens, your locally owned garden destination since 1964.
Are you looking for a better job in a dynamic family-owned company? Altamont Company is hiring. Searching for a few great people to join operations in Thomasboro or Rantoul? Altamont offers you a full-time position, not part-time, with available shifts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., and Monday through Thursdays, 8 p.m. to 6:30 a.m., offering benefits including health and dental, and simple IRA retirement plans. Available jobs at Altamont Company include hand sanders and wood prep. No experience is necessary. Altamont trains on site. Apply online at altamontco.com. Resumes welcome at hr.altamont@gmail.com. On-site applications available. 901 North Church in Thomasboro. Altamont Company, an equal opportunity employer. Urbana Park District has job openings for the summer. Hiring camp counselors, assistants, lifeguards, customer service representatives, ground and building positions, and more. Everyone is welcome to apply for a job, and the Park District offers competitive wages, always hiring not only for seasonal jobs, but for jobs year-round. Urbana Park District, you belong here. Online applications taken at urbanaparks.org/jobs.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champaign. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champaign is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampaign.com.
Ashley's President Sale is going on now. The already marked down President's Day prices are double discounted. Save big on all furniture. Everything is on sale. Take the sale price and double the savings. We have hundreds of items ready for your double discount, including our bestsellers, mattresses, and decor. Hurry into your local Ashley store to shop the President's Day sale now. Ashley is giving away a 2023 Nissan Altima. This isn't a national giveaway, it's local, with greater chances to win. Just stop in store at 602 West Anthony Drive, no purchase necessary.
Hey Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6, right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk. You know what people do at the club sometimes?
What's that?
They throw beer.
They do?
Maybe. Someone gets unruly, out of hand.
Yeah.
Did you see last night that someone before the game, on the note of we were discussing Keystone Light?
Yeah.
That's why we talked about it on the podcast last night, Jeremy and I. Beer, because someone threw a beer onto the court during the intros.
Are you serious?
And backsplash reminded me of getting hit with some of the...
You actually got hit by
it? I didn't get hit by a can, but some of the beer...
Oh my, come on, people. Yeah.
Who throws a beer?
And how do you get away with that? Hopefully they didn't.
They were searching for who threw it, trying to like project the angle and say, All right, it came in this way. We got some people in the section pointing at these four guys, but no one knew which one it was.
Oh.
I think they got away with it.
Come on, guys. That's ridiculous.
Finish your beer before you throw it.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I said, unless it's a Keystone, I might have actually thrown a Keystone because that stuff's garbage.
I'm still amazed by hole 16 at the Waste Management Open in Scottsdale. Have you seen when they like hit a hole-in-one or whatever, they just start throwing beer cans out on the green and the...
Was that last year that they did that?
Mm-hmm.
And then they've changed it now to like cups?
Yeah, well, I think they were still throwing beer.
They still can.
Well, no, you know what? Yeah, they changed that because this...
Someone got hit by one.
Yes. Jim had asked me what that show was. The show is called Full Swing on Netflix. It is one of the best things I've ever watched. And they actually do a story on a player who took his shirt off on number 16. And he's like, I got caught up in the moment because there were beer cans flying everywhere and... Yeah, that was awesome. That was really cool. Gary said good luck to Andrew tonight. Thank you. Gift for Gary. And he did say Illinois is so frustrating. They can be, man.
So athletic, so frustrating.
Yeah, so athletic, so frustrating. I agree. Sal said I heard Epps refused to go back into the game.
That was an interesting one last night. He only played 14 minutes.
Yeah.
He was responsible for some of the errors on Boo Boo. He kept going under his screens,
yep.
And Boo Boo was hitting threes, and Brad was getting after him. In the second half, he had done it again. That was like the third time, and Brad was losing his mind. And I didn't see it, but someone on press row said that as Brad was chewing him from the sideline, there was like it was kind of one of those, he makes the mistake, then Illinois comes back down for a possession. There was a dead ball, and they said that Jaden tugged at his jersey and told Brad to take him out.
Oh.
And Brad took him out, and he never went back in.
Holy cow.
Not to make anything too big out of it, I do know that there was an exchange, a heated one, in Indiana between Jaden and Brad because Jaden broke off a play and then ultimately dribbled it off his leg. and Brad got him on him for that one as well. So I don't know. I'm not going to make too much of it. Jaden was not playing well last night. Like, just beyond whether there was something weird going on, he was 0 for 5 from the field, didn't score, didn't play well, and Sincere was really hounding the ball there defensively. And Illinois' lineup, when they put in Sincere and Ty, they took Dane out too. Dane barely played in the second half.
Yeah.
That lineup worked for Illinois, and Brad just rode with that one. It was kind of that small ball play, Coleman at the five, and let Ty and Sincere fly around defensively. So I personally, without knowing more, not going to make too much of it, but it was kind of an interesting situation that unfolded.
Yeah, and nobody's been a bigger fan of Jaden Epps than Brad Underwood this year.
I mean, he was glowing about him the day before the game.
Yeah, I can think of numerous times where Brad Underwood has called out in a good way Jaden Epps. And I know, like, I feel like you guys have to ask him about guys like, let's say, Coleman before he really, you know, says, oh, man, Coleman. But it just seems like on his own, he'll just say, you know, Jaden Epps, blah, 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 and good things. So, yeah, that'll be, I guess that's something to watch. And, of course, now that we live in this portal era.
I was just going to say, I'm glad you said it and I didn't have to.
But let's don't worry about that right now. 217 said, now it's time for this team to make their run. Is it March yet? Love this time of year from Ty. I agree, ILL.
Scott said, I didn't have fun watching. They were getting run out of the gym most of the game. Epic collapse by Northwestern.
No doubt. And Muhammad, a couple of people said the Seton Hall game overtime allowed Corey Bradford's streak to continue. That's right. And now some kid from Eastern Illinois has it.
It's true.
That's crazy, isn't it? Let's see. Sincere can posterize the big boys.
That was a heck of a dunk.
Holy smoke. That was incredible.
He had some really – I know that defensively it really stood out because Boo Booey scored 3 points the last 11 minutes of that game.
That's it.
But – Sincere had some really nice takes to the basket that I was like, oh, no, don't do that.
I know.
Oh, it went in.
Like, I agree. Like, he showed some offensive skill last night that we haven't seen. I like Tim's thought here on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line. The execution may not always be there, but I think the, quote, Underwood can't make adjustments crowd maybe needs to quiet down. That is a good point. We're quick, me, probably more than anyone, quick to criticize when things don't happen in the right direction in terms of adjustments. But last night, obviously, they did something right. Or was it just Terrence Shannon? You could say adjustment, but when Terrence Shannon's hitting threes right in front of Brad Underwood, you know, I mean, that helps.
No, they definitely made the lineup adjustments. It's one of the few times that Brad hasn't sent out the same five starters to start the second half.
You're right.
Where he pulls out Dane, he pulls out Jaden, and goes with Rogers there, it wasn't Jaden. He pulled out RJ and put Terrence back in the starting lineup group, and ultimately benched Jaden later in that half. But I know that Chris Collins brought it up during the post game and said, you know, we guarded their spread action really well in the first half, but they pretty much scrapped that in the second and just played ISO ball, just got downhill and drove us, spread out the floor. When they put Coleman at the five, they kind of played that five out, and without Dane in the lane, that made Northwestern space it a little bit more and then
makes sense.
Just went downhill. So it was a good adjustment. It was a good adjustment to make some of the defensive tweaks to put Sincere on Bowie and really ride with that and go away from Jaden and Dane down the stretch of that game. So let's be honest, and I'm not saying anything that people don't already know, like the biggest criticism around Brad, well, outside of – they kind of go hand in hand, not getting it done in March to this point.
Yep.
And the end game adjustments are something that people have poked holes in what he's done, most notably because of Loyola. There was no adjustment there. So you could look at it defensively and wonder, why are these guys continuing to light up Illinois? Why does Illinois not maybe go with a double team? Why did they not send two guys at Bowie last night? Could they have pushed a button to fix that a little bit quicker? Maybe, but definitely last night Brad made adjustments. Those were very notable and very impactful in the game.
Would agree. Wade asked, how high would Illinois go in the tournament? Now, I think he means seed if Illinois won out. So let's
Does
say
that include the Big Ten tournament or no?
No. I'll say no.
I think that if they win out the regular season, they'll be a six.
Okay.
Going into the Big Ten tournament.
What if
maybe,
they win out
maybe
minus
a five?
Okay. What if it's what if they go win out minus Purdue?
Win out minus Purdue.
So in other words, you
probably seven, maybe six.
Okay. Okay.
Kyle mentioned, I was a little surprised to hear, he mentioned that Lenardi updated his bracketology today and that Illinois was a nine.
A nine. Man. Well, hopefully that game, how many years have we needed a Northwestern win to be?
The thing about last night, I think it was more about not hurting you more than it maybe helped you resume-wise, which
I agree.
You look at Northwestern, they're a ranked team, and you wish that it maybe meant a little bit more in terms of like moving the needle. But I think if you would have gotten swept by Northwestern, there's still kind of that perception of – and losing on your home floor. You lose on your home floor to Northwestern, you lose on your home floor to Penn State. You have the record that you've had so far against top-level Big Ten teams.
Right.
If you would have looked at the standings and said, oh, there's Indiana up there. Yeah, they swept you. Oh, there's Northwestern up there. They swept you.
Mm-hmm.
You lost to Maryland in one matchup. They needed a win like that. But to have a realistic shot to get a top four seed in the Big Ten tournament and to have at least a chance of a six seed or maybe even better depending on a deep run in the Big Ten tournament, that needed to – you need to beat Northwestern to have that be a possibility.
That's fair. That is absolutely fair. Christian, I've fought this my entire life. He said, we want a lower seed. A 16 seed is higher than a one seed.
I
have fought that my entire life. Always have. I think you can say it either way. I'll put it that way.
I guess we should probably say better seed or
better.
Worse seed.
Yeah, that's the...
I've been trying to catch myself.
That's the better way to say it.
A better seed.
Yes. But I've always said higher, meaning better. So that is funny, though, that's kind of how it goes. You know, I'm ready to listen or chat with Luke Goody. He didn't play a whole lot last night, did he?
He didn't. 7.5 minutes, missed both of his threes, although they were kind of rim outs.
Yeah.
Looked good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just kind of shows you. Like you said, like Epps didn't play much, Goody didn't play much, Danger doesn't play much, and then other guys step up. You know that Danger can have a 17.9 rebound performance. We know that could happen at any time. We know that Jaden Epps can hit four or five threes in a game and score 14 to 16 points. You know those can happen. I think the cool thing, and again, this is why I don't think I would want to play Illinois, is not only are they inconsistent and could all of a sudden play unbelievable, I don't even know who to stop. I mean, I know as a former coach, I know where I'd start. With Meyer and Shannon.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, I mean, you could have Coleman go for 18 and Epps go for 16 and Danger get 10 and you lose the game. And Shannon and Meyer don't do much. I just think this team is just, it's a very, you nailed it with the North Carolina. Now, is this team good enough to make the Final Four? I don't know. I don't know that they're as talented as last year's North Carolina team was. You could probably argue different pieces of that. Inside, definitely not. But it's...
Carolina also had some veteran guard play.
They did.
Beyond Epps, they do have that with Shannon, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, Love and Davis last year.
That's true. That was huge. But it's just... It's crazy that... It is crazy that this team is just... They've got a lot of different ways they can come at you. And that could make them dangerous in a tournament setting. I really do. But there again, they could miss every three they put up and get beat by Towson State. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know.
Towson State.
Towson State. They're dangerous. Watch out for them.
They are.
What's their mascot again?
They are, of course.
Are they Tigers?
Tigers, yeah. I was going to say Tigers.
They're
right.
The Tigers.
That's, why do we know that?
I don't know.
Like, why do we know that? that just explained to everybody how pathetic we are in life and in general, just life in general, that we know who Towson State's mascot is. Wow.
Not to be confused with Memphis State.
And it's probably Towson, not Towson.
No, it's Towson.
I don't know why I'm saying it like Towson.
I have no idea if Towson's the Tigers. I was just kind of going on.
Oh, I think
I thought it was a bit, and I was just going on with you.
I think they are.
Okay.
Is Kyle Googling that?
Real quick, another one from Scott on the text line. Spring training today. Winter is over. I'm going bass fishing this weekend. That
sounds let's go.
Awesome. I did see on ESPN that there were two spring training games today. the Cardinals, which we mentioned earlier in the week, they play this weekend. I think it's the Nationals tomorrow.
Yes.
That will be broadcast on this station.
Yes.
ESPN 93.5.
That is correct. It is the Tigers. Doc the Tiger is the official mascot of Towson, not Towson University. He's named after the former sports department head, Donald Doc Menigan. Look at that. I threw a pole. I didn't throw the pole in the water. I fished a little bit last week. I did.
Awesome.
It felt good. It felt good to just get out there and flip the wrist. Didn't catch anything, but I flipped the wrist. So that was good.
Loosen it up.
Loosen it up. That's right, for baseball.
One more. A 217. Watch out for the Atlanta in the tourney. Goody will be in game shape and will get hot. Remember, I said it.
Oh,
I will remember.
Throwing out the remember I said
even
it
though
line.
I don't have your name. I could read the full phone number and then I'd remember it. I could go back on the podcast, but you probably don't want that.
I'm not laughing at the 217.
I
always think that's funny, though, that like I could sit here right now on February 24th and say the St. Louis Cardinals are going to win the World Series. Now, you remember when they do, I said that.
I will be
and
able.
And if they don't, I'm just going to forget that I even said it.
I know. We do have receipts on here, though. So when you text in come
March
30th and said, remember when I said this?
Yep.
I could go back and say, oh, look, there's that text on February 24th. He or she did say that.
In fact, I'm going to just take a picture of it right now and have it. I didn't. I am not going ice fishing.
There was a ton of that when I went up to the Wisconsin game at Madison. That place, I don't know what the lake is there at Madison. Unbelievable amount of ice fishing going on. And it was like a blizzard that night.
They love it,
man.
They're
committed.
That's Brian, by the way, from Chatham. Boys wonder why it's not Chatham. Yeah, no, 651 said, come up north, go ice fishing, or ice drinking, as we call it. We used to have an ice fishing little, what do you call those? My dad did, so we'd take it out on Patterson Spring, and we'd bring the auger out and dig, and we'd sit out there for 3 hours, and finally I'm like, can I go snowmobile? And he's like, sure. I'm like, why are we sitting here on a bucket fishing for fish? Or fishing when it's 10 below out and there's 4 inches of ice. Probably more than that.
On the other side, on the note of Luke Goody getting hot and this team going on a run in the tournament, let's ask the guy himself.
Let's go.
Whether he sees that happening for this team. Luke Goody joining us as he does every week. Coming up next on The Drive. We're back with that next. It is The Drive.
It is The Drive.
It is The Drive.
At Busey Bank, we're proud to serve our local community through financial guidance and community investment. Offering sound advice and actionable insight, Busey builds financial strength, supports homeownership dreams, and offers customized lending strategies, connecting with our neighbors to build stronger communities. Busey Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
You've changed thousands of diapers, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw in Champaign-Urbana today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
BC Bank, leading the way to your financial wellness. No matter where your financial journey begins, Pathways banking options at BC are designed with your goals in mind. BC Bank, building strong financial futures, one family, one street,